Good evening, Bethany Baptist Church. It is good to be with you all this evening. Like Conrad said, my name is Tulamo and I'm from Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. I do bring greetings from Central and it is a great joy to be with you all this evening. I trust that as we spend these next few minutes, as we look at God's Word, that we would be encouraged, that God would do a mighty work in our hearts, and that He would help us behold Jesus Christ in all of His beauty and all of His splendor. I'm going to pray one more time before the preaching of God's Word, just to settle my own nerves and to come before God's throne. So won't you bow with me now? Our Father in heaven, You are good. And You are glorious. Our desire this evening, Lord, as we come to Your word, is to hear You speak. Lord God, You have spoken, and You have spoken by Your written revelation. You have spoken of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that we might see Him tonight. I pray, Lord, that as we read Your word, as we hear Your message one more time, as we behold Jesus Christ, that You would stir our hearts' affections, Lord, that You would help us to gaze upon Your beauty, and that You would help us to live lives that bring much praise to Your name. So, God, this evening I pray that You would be with me as I declare Your word. May Your truth be declared, and I pray that as it is declared, that by Your Holy Spirit, You'd pierce our hearts, Lord God, and transform our lives to Your praise and glory. These things are asked in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This evening, we will consider the mighty arm of God in the flood. And we will cover a huge portion of scripture. I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 6 all the way to chapter 8. And I'll teach, giving an overview of what the main point of these chapters are. So if you have your copy of God's word, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. We'll read from the first verse and we'll take it all the way to the end of chapter 8. Reading Genesis chapter 6 from the first verse, hear the word of the Lord. When man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives any they chose. Then the Lord said, My spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came into the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I've created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence, and God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end to all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits and its height 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing on the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come in to you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that the Lord had commanded him. Then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you seven pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and seven pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean, and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, two and two, male and female, went into the ark with Noah as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened. And rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast according to its kind, and all livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, and all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and the birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Chapter 8. But God remembered Noah.
and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed. The rain from the heavens was restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And the mountains continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and so she returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So no one knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." Only so far in the reading of God's word. Like I mentioned, this is a long portion of scripture, but my intention this evening is to give us an overview of the mighty arm of God in the flood. Allow me to introduce this sermon by telling you something that I recall from my parents. Parenting is not easy. Now, I haven't been a parent for long, but like I mentioned, I recall it from being a child under my parents' care. One thing I had to quickly learn as a young child is that sin has consequences. Whenever I sinned, be it I told a lie or I took something that did not belong to me, it was certain that I would face punishment from my parents. Another thing I learned about parenting from my own parents is that sometimes parents regret their response to their child's sinful behavior. Sometimes, in a sinful, reactive way, parents may punish their children, which leads to regret in the end. Maybe they lash out or yell, or even in anger and high emotions, they may discipline their own children. The end is usually regret and promising themselves to never respond in the same way again. God is similar to parents. Not in a sinful way, but in how he responds to sin. God hates sin. He cannot stand sin, and this evening we will see how he responded to sin in Noah's time. One thing that we will notice, though, is that God regretted having made man, and he promised to never deal with their sin like he had back then. This evening, we will consider the overview of Genesis chapter 6 all the way to chapter 8. And the big idea from these three chapters is that God, in his just wrath, punishes the wicked. We'll consider these scriptures, or this portion of scripture, in 4 points. The first point that we'll see is God's regret. Then we'll consider God's redemption before we look at God's remembrance, and the final point will be God relents. God's regret is the first point. The second point, God's redemption. The third point, God's remembrance. And the fourth and final point will be God relents. God's regret. You see this in chapter 6 of verse 1 to verse 8. I'm going to read these 8 verses one more time, just so that they're close to mind before I unpack them for us this evening. Moses writes in chapter 6 from verse 1 to 8 that when man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives any they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came in to the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, 'I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and the birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them.' But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." Adam and Eve have sinned. They begin to have offspring, and their children are being fruitful, and they are multiplying. The sons of God see the daughters of man, and they like what they see. And note, there are many speculations about who the sons of God are from our text. However, the widely accepted understanding is that the sons of God in this text refers to demons, fallen angels. These demons took for themselves human wives. Details are not given about this union, but it is quite clear that it is not a natural union. This prompts a response from the Lord. The Lord declares that his spirit shall depart from man, and his days shall be 120 years. The 120 years noted in this text is not the lifespan of man. In this text, it refers to the number of years before the judgment flood. You'll note that the text makes mention of the Nephilim. These were the unnatural offspring that resulted from the union between the sons of God and the human wives. The Lord gives man 120 years because man's wickedness was great and was increasing greatly. Wickedness is sinfulness. Every intention of the thoughts of man was evil continually, and then the Lord regretted. He regretted, and his heart was grieved. Moses uses anthropomorphic language to describe God. He uses human language to describe how God felt toward mankind. God hates sin, and it grieved him. And to capture this, Moses says that God regretted having made man, and it grieved him in his heart. It grieved him so much that he vowed to blot out man and every living creature from the face of the earth, excluding Noah. God, in his just wrath, punishes the wicked. Chapter 6 from verse 1 to verse 8 reveals that God regretted having made man. The second part of this portion of scripture that we're going through, it will be chapter 6 from verse 9 all the way to chapter 7 verse 24. And in this point, we will see God's redemption. In these verses, we see that God looks upon the earth and he sees corruption from the youngest of people to the oldest. The world is in a state of continual sin and people are living in their depravity. However, Moses notes in verse 9 that Noah was a righteous and blameless man. The idea of this is that Noah walked with the Lord. He believed God and he lived by his statutes and his commandments. He obeyed God's word and he led his family to God. Noah was not perfect. The only perfect man that we read of is Jesus Christ, the God-man himself. Only Jesus was perfect, but Noah was righteous and blameless because he believed in God and he walked in his ways, he followed his statutes and his commandments. Having surveyed all of this, God resolves in his own heart to destroy the whole earth and all who live in it. Verse 13 says of chapter 6, and God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God's displeasure with sin leads him to this conclusion, judgment. His judgment would be that he destroys every human being except for Noah and his family. God hates sin so much that it led him to destroying the whole earth and everything that lived on the earth. But he proceeds to display his redemption toward Noah and his family by ordering Noah to build an ark. God orders Noah on every detail of the ark. And you'll remember because we've read some of the detail already this evening. He tells him the measurements and the kinds of animals that would be in the ark with him and his family. This ark was huge. In it, Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives would get in, along with a pair of every living creature and sufficient food for them all. God then promised to make a covenant with Noah. Chapter 7 continues to unfold the redemption of Noah. The Lord tells Noah, after years of building the ark, to enter the ark, and more instruction is given to him, and God's intentions are cleared up. In chapter 7, we note that the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days, I will send rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made, I will blot out from the face of the ground. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah's obedience continues, and God's plan is in full swing. He saves Noah and his family, and he remains just by punishing all wickedness and all those who do wicked things. 7 days later, everything begins to change. God's wrath is poured down from the heavens. The rains begin and the earth begins to flood. The wicked are judged as they drown in the wrath of God. Verse 17 says, the flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, and all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. God, he blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and the birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. God had begun releasing his judgment upon all the earth. In all of this, he redeems and he saves Noah and his family. God, in his just wrath, punishes the wicked. We have seen God's regret at the beginning of chapter 6. We have looked at God's redemption, and now we will consider God's remembrance. And you see that in chapter 8, from verse 1 to verse 19. After much rain and after God has wiped out the whole earth, he remembers Noah. Again, anthropomorphic language is used here. God begins to cause the waters to subside, and he achieved this by sending a wind to blow over the earth and by restraining the rain. God never forgot Noah. But to capture, at least for human readers, the emotion and the kind of thing that was happening, Moses notes that God remembers Noah, and he remembers that he and his family and certain animals were with him in the ark, and they needed to be rescued. So God, after remembering Noah, begins to display his sovereign power by sending a wind to blow over the earth and by restraining the rain. The water was so much that it took many days to subside. Noah, in that process, sends out a raven to and fro until the waters had dried up. His final test is sending out a dove. The first time, the Bible states that the dove returns, for it found no place to set its foot. The second time, after 7 days, he sends the dove again, but this time it returns with a freshly plucked leaf, a sign that the earth was almost completely dried. The third and final time, after another 7 days, the dove does not return. Chapter 8 from verse 13 to 19 reads as follows. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. God's redemption. God has saved Noah, and God has remembered Noah and his family. God, in his just wrath, punishes the wicked. We've looked at the first three points for tonight. We've looked at God's regret. We've seen God's redemption. We've seen God's remembrance. The final point and the fourth point is God relents. And you see that in verse 20 to 22 of chapter 8. Verse 20 reads as follows. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Noah builds an altar to the Lord and offers a burnt offering to him. Noah's first act after leaving the ark was to worship God through sacrifice. His gratitude and admiration of God's greatness led him to worship. He sacrificed some of the clean animals to the Lord. This was a costly sacrifice. You need to remember that in the context of what we're reading, God has just wiped out all of life, all of creation, really. And Noah only has some of each animal with him, but Noah leaves the ark, and the first act that he performs is to sacrifice some of the clean animals that he had. In reality, Noah risked these animals being extinct, but he realizes the importance of worshiping God, and so his first act is to sacrifice some of these animals. Well, this costly sacrifice pleased God, because as the sacrifice was made, God smelled the aroma of the roasting meat, and then he made this wonderful promise to Noah and to man. He promised that he would never again curse the ground on account of man or strike down every living creature. Then he promises the different seasons that will follow year after year. He promises seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. God relents, and his judgment is paused as he shows mercy and grace toward Noah, all of mankind that would come after that, and even to the ground. He says that he will never again curse the ground because the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth, and he will never again strike down every living creature as he had done. Genesis chapter 6 all the way to chapter 8 reveals the mighty arm of God in the flood. But in particular, it reveals God in his just wrath punishes the wicked. How does this portion of scripture apply to us tonight at Bethany Baptist Church? Well, not much has changed since Noah's time. The world is still in a state of sin and corruption, and wickedness is increasing as man is spiraling down into sin and depravity. You look around and you see that the world is falling apart. You turn on the news and you hear of wars and you see the evil intentions of man on full display. Not much has changed since Noah's day. Man is still continuing in sin and man is still displaying the wickedness that is in his heart. But God has promised that he will never again strike down every living creature as he had done. But if you take your Bible and you page a few pages forward, you read of Jesus Christ. You read of God condescending and taking on human flesh to live among men. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners like you and I. Jesus Christ came into this world so that he would live a perfect life that would please his Father in heaven. And toward the end of his life, Jesus Christ was betrayed and he was nailed to the cross where he died. In his death, he carried on his body the sins of all who would believe in him. Jesus Christ was buried, but praise God, on the third day, up from the grave, he arose because sin and death could not defeat him. He defeated sin and death, and he rose victorious over them, promising life and life in abundance to all who would believe in him. But if you continue in your Bibles, you read that he ascended back to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father and to judge and rule with him. Well, friends, while he is ruling and while he is judging, the world continues in a state of sinfulness and wickedness and destruction. But the Bible, God, promises us that Jesus is coming again for a second time. That second coming will be like the coming or like the judgment we see in Genesis 6, 7, and 8. When Jesus comes for the second time, he is coming to judge the living and the dead. When Jesus Christ comes the second time, all who are wicked will be punished the same way that God punished wicked mankind in Genesis 6, 7, and 8. Those who reject Jesus will pay for their sins. Those who reject Jesus and continue to live in a state of sin will be cast into the lake of fire where they will eternally pay for their own sins. Judgment is promised even to the wicked who live in this day and age. But hope is given to those who trust in him. Hope is given to those who place their faith and their trust in him. But the call on your life tonight, friends, is if you haven't believed in Jesus Christ, put your faith and your trust in him so that you might be saved. If you do believe in Jesus Christ, praise God. Praise God because the end of sin and destruction and pain and rebellion is coming. Praise God because he will come again to take his bride. The second application I want to make tonight is for believers. We see that Noah was obedient to God throughout all that happened in history. Noah obeyed God, though the whole world turned against God. Noah believed in God and he led his family in believing in God and in following God. Noah not only believed God, but he worshiped God with sincerity. The call on our lives as believers is to always trust and believe God at his word. May we worship him as he is rightly to be worshipped. May we trust him as we are supposed to, because he is worthy of our praise and our adoration. God, in his just wrath, punishes the wicked. Genesis 6, 7, and 8 reveals the mighty arm of God in the flood. And we've considered it in 4 points. The first point was God's regret, God's redemption, God's remembrance, and the fourth and final point was that God relents. Let us close in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, even as we consider your word tonight, my heart is heavy. My heart is burdened, Lord, because I can see in your word how you hate sin and how much sin displeases you. Lord, I pray that you might help us as a people, as your people. Help us, Lord, to hate sin in the way that you hate it. Help us, Lord, to fight sin like we are supposed to by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us daily to live lives that please you and to live in obedience to your word. Lord, I pray that these words that we have read from your word, that they would take root in our hearts, that by your word tonight, you would shape and fashion us in the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, Lord, use your spirit to conform us and mold us into the image of your Son. But Lord, tonight I pray for those who might be unbelieving in this place. I pray, Lord God, that you would cast them upon the cross of Christ, that they would cling to him, that they too would be granted eternal life. I pray and I ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 24:25, keeping with the tone and the context of the sermon we've heard, it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless from the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen."